University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, what in the world is going on down in Texas? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Hour three of the big show. And this information from FoxNews.com, Texas Land Commissioner George P. Bush, not to be confused with George W. Bush or George H.W. Bush, but George P. Bush is responding to rumors that protesters were looking to target the Alamo. And he posted a statement. I guess this is his position, or he's responsible for the Alamo under his role as Texas Land Commissioner. He says, "Don't mess with the Alamo," sending a message to these protesters. "Don't mess with the Alamo. The Alamo is the shrine of Texas liberty. It will be defended. My office is closely watching the social media post and rumors from protesters who are threatening to come to the Alamo. Rest assured, we have already deployed for several weeks and will continue to do so. The Alamo Rangers, in partnership with the San Antonio PD, the Department of Public Safety, and the National Guard, to protect this sacred site. My message to the protesters is simple. Don't mess with the Alamo." Okay, now, I know the anarchists, they're not exactly the brightest bulbs in the lamp. I get that. But I find it hard to believe that they would be that stupid to think they could attack the Alamo. That's not going to end well at all. So there you go. All right, folks, our toll-free number, 800 number, 844-747-8868, toll-free number nationwide, coast to coast, border to porous border, 844-747-8868, if you want to weigh in on that. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a good friend of this program, the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, Dr. Robert Jeffers. Dr. Jeffers, great to have you back with us.
Great to be back with you, Todd.
Well, there's a lot going on in the country, Dr. Jeffers, and we'd love for you to weigh in, if you could, just on the really shocking news, a devastating blow for religious liberty at the Supreme Court today with Justice Gorsuch and the Chief Justice John Roberts siding with the left to affirm transgender rights in the workplace.
Oh, it was a absolutely devastating decision with chilling implications, especially for religious institutions. Look, Todd, I don't know of any conservative Christian who believes that somebody's constitutional rights ought to be negated because of their sexual choices. However, what this decision does is it opens the doors for churches and religious organizations to lose their tax-exempt status for not hiring people who embrace a lifestyle contrary to that institution's beliefs. Remember, in 1983, the Supreme Court revoked the tax-exempt status of Bob Jones University because they practiced racial discrimination. The court said that the government does not have to support those organizations that act contrary to the government's value system. Well, today, the Supreme Court equated racial discrimination with discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, and therefore, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. This is going to be the basis for government to negate the tax-exempt status of religious organizations unless they fall in lockstep with government beliefs.
In other words, it is now open season on church houses in America.
Oh, I think it's been open season for a long time. I think there was just a pause until the left reloaded.
You know, Dr. Jefferson, ladies and gentlemen, Robert Jeffers, pastor of the First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, author of the incredible new book, Praying for America. And we have a link to his book on our live show blog. You know, Dr. Jeffers, when you look at this ruling, and some people might be saying, oh, there goes Jefferson Starnes again and all the hyperbole. Well, it's not hyperbole, Dr. Jeffers. All we have to do is look at that poor baker in Colorado, Masterpiece Cake Shop. That guy actually won at the Supreme Court, and they're still coming after him.
Absolutely. There's no stopping it. And by the way, for those legal eagles in your audience, Todd, they may point to the 2012 Tabor decision, in which the Supreme Court unanimously said that a Lutheran school had the right to hire and fire according to its religious beliefs. What that decision said was the organization was protected against lawsuits based on discrimination. It said nothing about tax-exempt status. And look, when you revoke the tax-exempt status, you know, of a church or a religious organization, it not only means donations are no longer tax-exempt, it opens the way for local municipalities to start taxing with property taxes thousands and thousands and thousands of churches and synagogues around the country.
Just shocking. Again, it's this happens all the time with these judges that the Republicans put up on the bench. You know, they look conservative, they sound conservative, and yet they turn around and they stick it to you when they get up there on the bench.
Yeah, they start smoking something when they get up there that causes them to almost always turn to the left somewhat.
Dr. Jeffers, you preached a terrific message yesterday at First Baptist Dallas, and I appreciate you sent me a copy of it, talking about some pretty, you know, pretty serious issues that are facing the country right now. You addressed both racism and also lawlessness in America.
Right, and I felt the need to speak clearly to our congregation, our extended television audience. You know, when we talk about this as Christians, we don't look through the lens of a political party. We need to look through the lens of the Bible and see what the Bible says. And I said three very quick things. I said, first of all, God hates racism. The Bible's clear about that. To hate somebody because of the color of their skin is to hate the God who gave them the color of their skin. And there is absolutely no room at First Baptist Dallas, or should be at any other church, for racism. But God also hates lawlessness. 1 John 3:4 says, sin is lawlessness. And look, this call to dismantle and defund police is completely contrary to the teachings of Scripture. Romans 13 says God's appointed law enforcement officers, governing authorities, as ministers of God to punish those who do evil. Does that mean they're all perfect? Of course not. When Paul wrote those words, remember, it was a Roman government that 30 years earlier had crucified Christ. It would be the Roman government that ultimately beheaded Paul himself. Paul understood more than anybody that government doesn't always get it right. But even though they're not always perfect, that doesn't mean you disband them. But Todd, the final thing I said was, racism is not the root problem in America, and lawlessness is not the root problem in America. Racism and lawlessness are symptoms of the root problem, which is sin, rebellion against God. And the only way you're going to rid this world of racism and lawlessness is by introducing them to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Only Christ can give a new heart that leads to the eradication of racism and lawlessness.
Dr. Jeffers, what does the Bible say, or does the Bible address this issue of white privilege? And you have a lot of religious leaders out there saying that we have to repent for the sins of our forefathers, and we have to address the fact and acknowledge that we are where we are because of the color of our skin.
Well, I don't think the Bible anywhere says that we can repent for somebody else's sin. We've got plenty of our own sins to repent of, and I would just say it's misplaced repentance. We need to look into our own hearts, and if there's a change that needs to take place, we need to start with ourselves. And, you know, I don't hate anybody, Todd, because of their skin color. Our church, people say, is the most diverse, racially diverse mega church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So, you know, that is not my particular issue. I've got other issues I need to repent of, but not that one.
The idea, Dr. Jeffers, there are some religious leaders out there saying we should stop saying all lives matter. Is that wrong to go out there and to say that we believe all lives matter?
I think that look, God is colorblind. God is the one who says all life is sacred because he creates all life. And I think we ought to say very clearly, black lives matter, brown lives matter, white lives matter, all lives matter. There's nothing racially insensitive or wrong about that at all.
I think maybe the bigger story here is how many people in the evangelical movement are being sucked into this, you know, this critical race theory, white privilege nonsense. Yeah. This wokeness, I think, is the word they use. I mean, it really is sad, but you got to do your homework if you're finding a church.
And I said this yesterday. I said, look, when people ask, what is First Baptist Dallas doing to bring about racial reconciliation? I said, you tell them we're doing the most effective thing we could do to try to promote racial reconciliation without changing a person's heart. Is like trying to cure cancer with a Band-Aid. It is completely ineffective. And there are a lot of churches that are in the business of passing out Band-Aids right now, Todd. I mean, they think having listening sessions and photo ops and social media posts, that that's bringing about reconciliation. It's not doing a thing. We're doing the most effective thing any church can do, and that's introducing people of all color to the only one who can change their heart, and that's Jesus Christ.
It's a terrific message. It's a life-changing message. Dr. Jeffers, how's that book doing out there?
It's doing great. Now, I appreciate your help on this. You know, at this time, with a global pandemic, with racial unrest, with economic uncertainty, I think everybody can agree we need to be praying for America like we never have before. So thank you for encouraging people to get the book.
All right, folks, so you can get that book. Go to the website, toddstearns.com, live show blog, and we have a direct link to where you can purchase a copy of Praying for America, 40 Inspiring Stories, 40 Inspiring Stories and Prayers for Our Nation. Dr. Jeffers, we're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate your wise words.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thank you.
All right, Dr. Robert Jeffers. Wow, you know, I don't think I've seen another preacher in America that triggers the left quite like Dr. Robert Jeffers. He just tells it like it is. And it's true. If you have not been to First Baptist Dallas to worship, and I've had the privilege of being able to go down and not just worship, but also speak at that church, it is one of the most diverse churches. And it's not because people are forced to go there. It's because they want to go there. You know, I was out the other day. I was thinking about this. I know we got to take a break, but give me a second here. I've been doing the walking, so trying to shed a few pounds. I'm putting on some barbecue weight here in Memphis, and so I'm out at the park, and it's a beautiful park. There's a 2.5 mile trail around the lake. They call it the Promenade, and there must have been hundreds and hundreds of people out there. It was a beautiful day, and I'm out there walking, and I noticed right away that there were people of all different nationalities, religions, skin color. Everybody was out there having a good time. They were, I saw, you know, again, a black man and a white man running side by side together, jogging. I saw a group of Muslim women and their children out feeding the ducks. It was just people were having a good time. People were not rioting. People were not pillaging or plundering. They weren't yelling at each other. We were all living together and recreating together in harmony. And it's easy to get sucked into what CNN and MSNBC try to tell us every single day, because they're fomenting a race war. And it reminded me, as I was out there taking my walk around the lake in Shelby Farms, beautiful urban park, it reminded me that we cannot buy into this narrative the mainstream media is trying to shove down our throats. We just can't do it. And that was a great wise word from Pastor Jeffers there at the First Baptist Church in Dallas. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Something in the water. What is going on around here? What is going on in the country? So, Secretary Ben Carson, who I know and I consider this man to be a friend, Secretary Ben Carson just said on the Hugh Hewitt show that the president will eventually get there on athletes who kneel. What does that mean? Is there any, let me ask you this, folks. Would you ever, is there any time that you would take a knee during the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance? Is there any, what would cause you to take a knee during the singing of the national anthem? Anyway, Secretary Carson on the Hugh Hewitt show says that he believes the president's going to get there. In other words, he's going to come around. Do you think we're ever going to see President Trump take a knee? Is that what Dr. Carson is saying here? The secretary went on to say that he believes that most athletes are simply protesting police brutality and they're not disrespecting the flag. Secretary Carson says the players need to make that clear. You got to go back to the early days, ladies and gentlemen. This had nothing to do with police brutality. This had with disrespecting the flag. That's what this is really all about. I don't know what Secretary Carson is doing here, but this is not helpful. 844-747-8868 is our number. Let's go to New Orleans. Our sweet, dear, kind, lovely friend, Miss Janice, is on the line. Hi, Miss Janice. How are you today?
Thank you for all the kind words, Todd. I appreciate that. I want to make a point here that I feel is very important, and I want everyone out there to take a minute to listen to me, please, and think about what I'm saying. Give this some thought later. I don't care what color a person is. To me, there is no color. Let's for 1 second just say there's no color. Okay. Now, I saw what happened to Mr. Floyd. It was totally appalling. That was overkill, no pun intended, but I mean, 9 minutes kneeling, having your knee on someone's neck. No. If I had been there, if I had been a cop, I most probably would have been shot because I would have done whatever I could have to stop that guy and get his knee off that man's neck. I really would have done that, and he probably would have shot me with his gun or something, tased me, whatever, with his taser. But nonetheless, I could not have stood by and watched that. But what I want people, for one moment, to think about, what actually precipitated this to begin with? Had Mr. Floyd not been trying to pass a counterfeit, and I stress that word, $20 bill. That is what brought the police to him to begin with. And in Georgia, what brought the police to the other gentleman? He was sitting in his car, sleeping or passed out, blocking the Wendy's drive-thru. Now, if you were in line at a food place or a bank, let's say,
I'd have been honking my horn. But hey, Miss Janice, hang tight, Miss Janice. I want you to finish this thought. We're going to have to take a break for the news, but hang tight. Folks, don't go anywhere. Miss Janice is going to finish her very important thought here, and we're going to talk to the attorneys of that Christian funeral home. We'll tell you more about that coming up next. This is the Todd Stern Show. Before we bring on David Cortman from Alliance Defending Freedom, I want to wrap up the call we had with Miss Janice from New Orleans. Miss Janice, thanks for holding over. You were talking about the police, so go ahead and finish your thought.
Yes, Todd. All right. The cop in Atlanta, that was a totally different situation than what happened in Georgia there. I mean, in, was it? The other, Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Minnesota, yes.
Oh, Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Okay, so it was totally different. But my point is, okay, you fight with the cop, you take the taser, you point it at him. Yes, it is deemed a weapon. And so the cop did have the right to defend himself on that score, I feel. Now, I'm going to, long story short, people, I'm going to cut to the chase. Remember this always. Don't break the law And your chances of having an interaction with the police would be a hell of a lot less. It's simply obey the rule of law. Don't pass counterfeit money. Don't rob a house. Don't drink to the point where you're passing out at the wheel. All these kinds of things. Obey the rule of law in this country. That's to me, that is what precipitated both of these incidents in the first place. And if laws had not been broken, the cops would never have had to show up on the scene. Have a good day, Todd. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, Ms. Janice. That was succinct and to the point and very well said. And folks, again, if you are going to fight with the police, if you're going to try to beat up a police officer and steal his taser and then point that taser at him and fire the taser, that's on you at that point. All right. Moving right along. And by the way, ToddStearns.com, we have lots of great stories for you, including information on this very important and very disappointing Supreme Court ruling today. Alliance Defending Freedom represented the funeral home in this case. David Cortman is with Alliance Defending Freedom, senior counsel and VP of U.S. litigation. David, good to have you back with us.
Oh, good to be on again.
So I want to get your reaction here. It seems to be that a lot of folks in the religious liberty circles are very disappointed and very alarmed at what happened today up at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, it definitely has. The opinion has troubling implications in many different areas. But just to kind of catch people up, you know, there's this common sense principle that people in our country have to be able to rely on what the law says. And if the law is going to change, it should be done by Congress. And the problem is not only did some of the dissenting justices like Justice Alito said this, but many have said what the court did today was actually legislate from the bench, actually change the law. And what we're talking about is protection in the workplace that's been in place almost 60 years, and the court today, with a stroke of the pen, changed that law.
You mentioned troubling implications. What are those implications? What are we talking about here?
The problem is when you're looking at what's originally intended to protect women in the workplace and making sure they got equal opportunities as did men, that carries over not only to the workplace, but it carries over to issues we've been seeing in the news, for example, like sports. We have issues all over the country where girls are losing championships and titles and different things to boys who identify themselves as girls. And so now these superior athletes are competing against the women and taking their places, taking these opportunities away. We see it in women's shelters. We've had clients all over the country where they have women who are battered, who have been abused in shelters only for women, where they're trying to force biological men to be able to sleep in the same room with them. And those are the type of implications that this type of ruling puts in jeopardy.
Now, there were a couple of other cases that were sort of woven in here. You had one in Clayton County, Georgia. A guy was fired from his job as a child welfare advocate for conduct unbecoming after he joined a gay softball league. This is from the reporting of Fox News. There was another where you had a skydiving instructor who was fired after he mentioned that he was gay. And then your case involving this Michigan funeral home. Tell our listeners, what was this story about here? What was going on at the funeral home?
Yeah, it was incredible. So this funeral home has been ministering to their community for about 100 years. And they hired this gentleman, worked for them, no problem, for about 7 years. He was a funeral director. He was their face to the public. And he came to work one day and said, look, I'm going to be transitioning from a man to a woman. I'm going to present that way at work. And this Christian business owner said, look, you know, we love you and your transition, you know, you could do as you wish. But when you come to work, we expect you to abide by our dress code policy that you agreed to. And that is that men have to dress like men. They wear suits and women have to dress code. And he said, no, I won't abide by that. And so that's when they came to let him go. And that's what the court basically held. Even though the law was clear that our client was able to do so under the law, that the law was now changed in the ruling today.
The Salon.com, they're not big fans of Alliance Defending Freedom. I want to read the headline to you. This is their take on what happened today. By upholding LGBTQ rights, the Supreme Court sets back the religious rights assault on America. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I would probably flip that completely on its head to be more accurate. I mean, imagine abiding by a rule of law for 50 or 60 years. Every appellate court in the country who's reached this issue for 30, 40 years has ruled the same way, that when it says because of sex under the statute, it means biological men and biological women. It does not mean sexual orientation. It does not mean transgender status. And so 60 years later, to rewrite the law helps no one. And interestingly enough, it doesn't forward LGBT rights. What it does is go against what the law has been written, regardless of what your stance is. And then it raises the questions of religious freedom implications. Like, what does a Christian business owner do? What do we do with religious organizations now? What do we do in the different contexts? So it just really creates chaos in reaching a decision like this. And the problem is Congress should be changing the law and not the courts. And I think that's the bottom line.
David, the average Joe, just looking at this, maybe they're not real big into these issues. They haven't been following the court cases. And they would say, well, wait a second. Let's just say some guy down at the office, your cubicle person next to you in the cubicle comes out as gay. That person should not lose their job because they're gay. How do you respond? Is that what this is about?
Yeah, it's not what it's about. And what's interesting in each one of these cases, there are a bunch of facts that were left out. They were each one of the situations where the one down in Georgia, there were some accusations of misappropriation of funds. In the one up in New York, there was allegations about inappropriate behavior by the employee. In our case, it was about not filing a dress code. And interestingly enough, the court didn't address any of those other reasons. It basically said, well, everyone agrees, this is why that they were let go. And that's simply not accurate. So the fact that someone, has these statuses or whatever categories you want to call them is really not the point. The point is do they have to abide by the same rules, number one, they agreed to, and the same rules that everybody else does? And then what do we do in the workplace with restroom facilities and locker rooms when we have biological men being able to go into restrooms or locker rooms, especially in sports in high school with women or girls? I mean, these are troublesome issues that the court basically just kind of ignored, even though they're implicated by the decision today.
David Cortman on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, an attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom. They represented a Christian funeral home before the Supreme Court, losing that case today. David, we're getting messages from a lot of people in the church community, religious community. What does this mean for them? What might happen to Christian businesses and, say, churches as a result of this ruling?
It's definitely an issue and adds to the problematic nature of the issue, because now we have a law that everyone in the country has been relying upon for decades. All of a sudden now it has a different meaning, so you have to go back and reevaluate what you're doing there. Now, churches and religious organizations, as the court did mention, have specific protections under federal statutes, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, under the First Amendment. There's different doctrines that apply, like ministerial exceptions. But religious organizations, religious schools, have to go back and take a look at what their policies say and what they're actually doing, and it certainly brings a question now to what was settled law before.
All right. So this is it. Supreme Court has ruled. This is the law of the land. What's next moving forward? What are we looking at?
Well, it's interesting. I think Justice Alito said it best in his dissent. We're looking at a whole lot more litigation about these issues, not only because of the answer that the court gave that was wrong according to what the law said for over 50 years, but all the questions it did not answer. So all the things that I've raised now, what do you do with forced pronouns we've heard where you have to call someone by a specific pronoun, not just he or her or she or him? What do you do now in athletics? What do you do now in shelters? What do you do now in religious organizations? And so I think what comes next is a bunch of litigation from both sides about which rights are enshrined in the constitutions and which rights matter, and can we rely on Congress just to change the law, or does the court decide to do it to keep up with what it thinks is the best decision of the day?
All right. Well, David, certainly a sad day for religious liberty in America, but we really appreciate the great work you guys at Alliance Defending Freedom do for us every single day.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Good guy right there, David Cortman from Alliance Defending Freedom. And folks, it is what it is. It's a changing day in America. There you go. All right, we've got to take a break here. We're going to be opening up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. And the reality is, your daughters, your biological daughters, may end up sharing bathrooms and locker rooms and dressing rooms with boys who think they are girls. And there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing at all. As a matter of fact, many of you have daughters who are biological girls who play on fast pitch softball teams. You know what? Your daughter may lose out. She may lose a spot on the team to a boy who thinks he's a girl. This is the reality in America. And you want to talk about war on women? That's the war on women. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing well this Monday edition of the program. By the way, this is pretty crazy. So you might remember a while back, President Trump was making the point that if you start banning the Robert E. Lee statues, eventually the left is going to come after the George Washington statues and the monuments and Mount Vernon and the cherry tree. Well, the stub. I mean, there's not a cherry tree because he chomped the cherry tree down. So, but you get the point. So anyway, everybody thought that President Trump was off his rocker. Oh, they're not going to go after George Washington. That's not going to happen. Stop with the hyperbole, Mr. President. So I want to play some audio from CNN, the most profane name in news. This is Angela Rye, and she's talking about what we need to do with George Washington statue.
It was already multicultural. There were already Latinos. There were already black people. So if we're going to relitigate history, let's start with that.
Is it about statues and monuments? I know you saw the interview I did with Cory Stewart, who's trying to run for a Senate seat there in Virginia. And he makes the case that it is about statues and monuments, and everyone's trying to make it about something else.
I think that we have to get to the heart of the problem here, and the heart of the problem is the way in which many of us were taught American history. American history is not all glorious, and even though I love John to death, I couldn't disagree more about George Washington. George Washington was a slave owner, and we need to call slave owners out for what they are. Whether we think they were protecting American freedom or not, he wasn't protecting my freedom. I wasn't someone who my ancestors weren't deemed human beings to him, and so to me, I don't care if it's a George Washington statue or a Thomas Jefferson statue or a Robert E. Lee statue. They all need to come down. There is a way that we can recognize and appreciate. I'm going to finish my point. I'm not feeding into white supremacy. I'm calling out white supremacy for what it is. And sometimes what it is, John, are blind spots. Sometimes what it is not acknowledging that this country was built upon a very violent past that resulted in death and the raping and the killing of my ancestors. So I'm not going to allow us to say that it's okay for a Robert E. Lee, but not a George Washington. We need to call it what it is. And I'm not saying that they don't deserve to be taught about. We definitely need to learn about it so we don't repeat it, because we're very close to repeating it right now. But I'm not giving any deference to George Washington or to Robert E. Lee.
Fine. My word. All right. That's how, you know, come on, folks. You know, work with vocal coaches. There's no need to hear that on there. But there you have it, a CNN analyst making the argument that we need to get rid of any statue of anyone who owned a slave in America. It will never stop. And you watch what's going to happen. They're going to use that argument to go after the United States Constitution. You watch. Watch, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go to the phones. Little Rock, Arkansas. Carmen is listening to us on KARN. Hi, Carmen. What's on your mind today?
Well, I actually have two things to discuss.
Yes.
One, the only reason that archaeology is even a business is because we have destroyed monuments to civilizations over time, as long as humans have been in existence, period. And we're doing it today. That's why archaeologists are digging up Egypt from hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So I find that ironic. The second point that I'd like to make is the overgeneralizations that are consistently being done, namely the constant browbeating of, if Black Lives Matter, why aren't they protesting abortion clinics? I really kind of question what those two things have to do with each other at all. Speaking as a woman who has had two medically necessary abortions to save my life so that I could parent the existing and only child I was able to bring into this world healthily, I don't understand what those two items really have to do with each other, even though I do know that the entire business was brought about for eugenics. I know the history of the abortion business industry. I get it. But as a human population over time, just like fashions change, cultures change, and we learn and we grow. But isn't it true that every human race has been enslaved by one or another throughout history, literally since caveman days? Aren't we kind of sick of the repetitive nature of our own stupidity at this point? And well, aren't we over the generalization?
Let me jump in here, Carmen, because, you know, the great thing about the United States of America, which I believe to be the most exceptional nation on the face of the earth, we eradicated slavery. We eradicated slavery. You know, there are no slaves in the United States of America right now. And the reason why is because Republicans, and I know this is an inconvenient truth for a lot of folks, but the fact of the matter is the Republican Party fought to free the slaves. It was the Republican Party that fought to pass the Civil Rights Act of the 1960s. Those were Republicans who did that. Those were Americans who did that. Now, as far as the argument with Planned Parenthood, the reality is that I can assure you more blacks have been killed by Planned Parenthood than at the hands of American law enforcement. That's just a matter of fact. When you look at their numbers, and that's the point people are trying to make. If you really are concerned about, you know, again, if Black Lives Matter, you would be protesting outside those Planned Parenthood abortion mills where they're slaughtering black babies. So, Carmen, it's a great call, and I hate to do this, but we're running up against the top of the hour, so give us a call back sometime, and we can continue that great conversation. All right, folks, look, wow, what a day, and where did the time go? We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. ToddStearns.com. Check out the website. Got to get yourself the newsletter, the podcast, free of charge, ToddStearns.com. Have a good one, everybody.